chapter 25 and verse number 8. The Lord here speaking to Israel, he says, "And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years, and the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, in the Day of Atonement, shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. A jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. Ye shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it of thy vine undressed, for it is the jubilee. It shall be holy unto you. Ye shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. In the year of this jubilee ye shall return every man unto his possession." Let's pause for a moment of prayer. Father, we thank you so much this morning for the liberty that we have in this land and for the liberty that we have in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, this morning that you would bless your word to our hearts today as we rejoice in all that we have in Christ Jesus. Lord, we ask you to bless us and guide us as a nation. We think of our president and the leaders of this nation, our Father, and pray that you would give them the wisdom and understanding they need to guide us in the right direction. We do pray, our Heavenly Father, that you might send a great and mighty revival in the hearts of your people throughout this land, that we might be able to go and spread the good news of the gospel to our neighbors and friends and loved ones, that your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts and make us what we ought to be as the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Lord, help us to be the witnesses that you want us to be. And we pray for our country. Lord, we just pray that you might help us to be a righteous nation, that we might honor and magnify your name above all else. Father, we pray this morning for those who are having difficulties. We ask you, Lord, to be with them in a very special way. We think of Jim Elsmore and pray for him especially, that you might touch and heal him of this Lyme disease, that he might be able to continue in his ministry, going from place to place and doing the chalk artist work and other ministries that he has. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you'd be with those who are experiencing other health problems. We ask you to undertake and meet the need of each and every one. Thank you, Lord, for your love to us and for all that we enjoy in this wonderful country in which you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. That's what's written on the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia, isn't it? And certainly what we need to be doing, spreading liberty throughout all the land. The year of Jubilee, it's also called the year of liberty, was celebrated in Israel on the 50th year after the Israelites took possession of the land of Canaan. It was announced with the blowing of the trumpet or the ram's horn, which proclaimed to the people the presence of God in their midst. There were 3 main provisions connected with the Jubilee. First of all, there was to be rest for the soil. We just read that a moment ago. No sowing, no reaping, no gathering. The land was to enjoy a Sabbath, a time of rest for the whole year. all the land that had been sold was returned to its original owner, who had been forced to sell his inheritance because of poverty. And the third thing, all Israelite slaves were set free. Those who had were like indentured servants. They had sold themselves to work for someone else. They were set free on the year of Jubilee. It seems that all the debts were forgiven, and it must have been a time of great rejoicing. Can you imagine? These people who were so deeply in debt that they had to sell their possessions, they had many times to sell themselves as slaves, were now free. Free and clear. No debts. Thus the Jubilee year became one of freedom and grace from all suffering, redemption to the captive, deliverance to the poor, and rest from labor. It represents a time of refreshing which the Lord provides for his people. You know, I know there's an old song, I can't remember all the words to it. Jubilee? Bob probably knows it. You know, I'm going to that happy Jubilee? Oh well, it's a good one. And really one of those lively songs. I'm going to that happy Jubilee. And certainly we need to be rejoicing as believers, you know. That's one thing we have, isn't it, in Christ. We are free. We have liberty. And thank God we still have liberty here too, right, in the United States. As we celebrate our independence, we did yesterday, the 4th of July, and people still celebrating, I think. And I know a number of activities going on and thinking about independence, how wonderful it is to realize that we're not under the heel of some tyrant. And, some people might disagree with me. But anyway, but that's beside the point. Anyhow, we still have freedom. And we need to be mindful of the fact that this is a great gift of God. God has given this to us. God is the one who led the founders of this nation to form this country. I'm totally convinced of that. No nation on earth has been blessed in a greater way than America. And we know Israel is God's chosen people. And God has blessed Israel abundantly. But our country is so filled with resources and all of the blessings of God and the way that he has led us and helped us down through all of these many years. Human effort alone has not produced all that we enjoy today. God has bestowed upon us such tremendous blessings. Yes, he has. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It's taken from the Declaration of Independence. So what kind of liberty are we to proclaim? Thomas Jefferson said, "The God who gave us life gave us liberty at the same time." He also said, "Can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis, a conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are the gift of God?" Thomas Jefferson said that. James Wilson, one of the founding fathers, and a justice on the original Supreme Court, said, "Far from being rivals or enemies, religion and law are twin sisters, friends, and mutual assistants." President Eisenhower said, "Without God, there can be no American form of government, nor an American way of life." Senator Daniel Webster made this insightful observation. He said, if we abide by the principles taught in the Bible, our country will prosper. But if we and our posterity neglect the instructions and authority in this book, no man can tell how sudden a catastrophe may overtake us and bury our glory in profound obscurity. These are our founding fathers. These are men that knew God and followed Him. And this is what we need today in our country. James 2, verse 12 says, so speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. Some people think that's an oxymoron, the law of liberty. How can you have law and liberty? But you do, right? Without the law, liberty becomes anarchy, right? You've got to have law. And he says the law of liberty. What is the law of liberty? It's the Word of God. He's looking into the Word of God. He says, we shall be judged by the law of liberty. True liberty is found only in obeying the Word of God. Notice the words of Jesus in John 8. John 8, 30, 31. Turn to this one. John 8. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. So, Jesus says if you are living in sin, you're a slave to sin. You're not free. It's only through obeying God and His Word that we can have true freedom. Many think they're free when they are actually slaves to sin. True freedom is found only in Christ. He's the Lord of liberty. Look with me, if you would, in Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. And verse 1, it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Proclaim liberty to the captives. Who is He talking about here? Well, it's no secret. If you look over in Luke chapter 4, you'll find it. Luke chapter 4. And verse 16. Here he's talking about Jesus coming back to his hometown. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." So this is talking about Jesus, isn't it? He's the one who came to set the captive free. He's the one who came to set at liberty them that are bruised and broken by sin and by Satan. The Lord Jesus is our great liberator. In Galatians chapter 5, let's take a look over there. Galatians chapter 5. We find the Apostle Paul discussing liberty. And our freedom that we have in Christ as believers. Verse 13 says, "For, brethren, you have been called unto liberty." That's our calling. We have been set free. And it says, "Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." So here we have, we are called to liberty, but to true liberty, not to license. You know, when a person can just do absolutely anything he wants to do without caring for anyone else, that's not liberty. That's just being licentious. That's going out and doing your own thing and not caring about others. But the Scripture tells us that we need to, by law, serve one another. That's what it's all about. True liberty sets us free that we might be able to help other people, that we might be able to meet their needs. Notice verse 14. "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another." That's what happens so often, isn't it? I want to have my way. You want to have your way. And we're not going to come together, are we? And that creates all kinds of dissension, disunity, lack of harmony. And certainly that's not what we need. If we're going to be free in Christ, we need to be united together in love for one another, serving God faithfully, not having these arguments and dissensions and all kinds of difficulties. We need to look to the Lord. Liberty must be governed by love, or it will lead only to chaos. If everybody does what he wants to do without thinking of anyone else, what kind of a life is that going to be? How would that work? I come to a stoplight and I decide I don't want to stop. The other guy coming through on the other side, he, you know, first thing you know, what you got? Our liberty has to be limited by love. Love for one another, love for self even, if you're about to have an accident. And true liberty. We must not turn liberty into a license to sin and insist on having our own way. There's no way that we can do that. We don't need to abuse our liberty. I have here, liberty plus love equals service to others. That way,
you can serve.
Liberty minus love equals license and slavery to sin. Oh, I'm going to have my way regardless. You can't tell me anything. I'm free. But that's not the attitude that we should have. Notice it says in verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This is God's way. When we come to Christ, when we receive Him as our Savior and our Lord, our Master, the Spirit of God comes into our life, and we are to follow His direction. We are to be led by the Spirit, as it says in verse 18. If you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. He will show you the way to go. Walk in the Spirit. Again, it says in 2 Corinthians, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. When the Spirit of God is leading, when He's in control, you see, then we are free. Sometimes we think, you know, well, if I can't have my own way, then I'm not free. That's not true. God's the one who knows best. He's the one who leads us. And we need to follow His direction. Back in verse 1 of Galatians 5, it says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Christ has set us free. Here we are. Follow His directions and you'll live a productive life. But if you don't, if you decide to go your own way, you know, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. See? But if you follow Christ, don't be entangled again, caught up in the net, in the trap that's set for you. Satan is just waiting to snatch you up. Don't allow that to happen. Don't put on another yoke. The yoke of Christ is easy. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. That's what we need. And to be free. Praise God for the liberty that we have as citizens of this great country. But praise Him even more for the liberty that we have in Christ Jesus. In His great love for us, He has provided a pardon for all our sins. And He set us free that we might have the blessed privilege of serving Him and proclaiming liberty in Christ to everyone who will believe in Him and receive Him as their personal Lord and Savior. May God help us to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world, to walk in liberty and to be led by the Spirit. You say, well, how can you be both, you know, if you're not free? Well, we're free in Christ. And if we follow Him, we'll rejoice and do His will. Father, we thank You for Your word to our hearts today. And we do praise Your name with all of our hearts for every blessing that we enjoy as Americans, as Christians. Lord, we thank You, praise You, that You are with us to help us and guide us. If there's anyone here today who's never come to Christ and received Him as Lord and Savior, may this message speak to their hearts and show them their need to be set free, to be free indeed in Christ Jesus. May Your will be done. Thank You, Lord, for all that we have in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray.